MZTV.
Was I visited by a celestial messenger at the Orlando, Florida airport? That's the question we all want answered here today. And that is a question that I will answer for you. From the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula, this is your friend, Martin Zender, bringing you the truth of God's word correctly translated. I don't know everything, ladies and gentlemen, but I know a hell of a lot. Now, before I embark on this amazing tale that I'm going to tell you, that I don't think I've ever told you, I have to follow up with my talk yesterday concerning suicide. An alert viewer named Bill from Ohio mentioned to me in a text, "Martin, you forgot to mention why people shouldn't commit suicide." Bill was right. I thought of it after I ended the show yesterday. I do have a dear friend who told me that she was going to commit suicide on Wednesday. I mean, she had it all figured out. This was a couple years ago, but she said, "Well, on Wednesday, I'm going to tape up the garage. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that, and it's over. I've enjoyed knowing you." And I had another friend who actually did it, but his dad came home. He tried to do it, but his dad came home, caught him in the garage. That's the guy who said, "I can't do anything right." But anyway, to this woman, I said, "Well, you know, I don't want you to do this. I understand everything." She was really ill. And I said, "I understand, but don't do it." She goes, "Well, what's the disadvantage of not doing it?" And my answer saved her life. The disadvantage is, in 2 Timothy 2:12, Paul says, "If we are enduring, we will be reigning together with him." Right? It's that section in 2 Timothy where Paul says, you can't get out of Christ's body. Right? If we become unfaithful, he remains faithful. He can't disown himself. So he can't disown himself. There's nothing you can do to get out of the body of Christ. Not even kill yourself. Not even kill yourself. However, I would say that if you kill yourself, that qualifies as not enduring. And as I've told you, ladies and gentlemen, enduring doesn't have to be pretty. Enduring can be ugly. It could be filled with bad words, bad thoughts, terrible habits, but you're enduring. Like sometimes I've said, just don't kill yourself. Just whatever gets you through the night, like John Lennon says. I've been criticized for that statement. Whatever gets you through the night, as long as it's not a sin. And like I say, and have said, God is much more liberal about what a sin is than popular culture, than Christianity. They make up sins because they love sins. I don't know why. They're sin conscious. They like to be Pharisees. I know a Pharisee. I know several. I know not one in particular, but always inventing new sins to put oneself on a higher pedestal above the sinning rabble. So anyway, killing yourself is not enduring. So what you will miss out on if you commit suicide is ruling and reigning with Christ. I honestly believe that. Could I be wrong? No, not on this. So just hang in there. You're going to make it. God gives you, and now we're going to graduate into my topic du jour. God gives you things along the way to get you through. Just barely sometimes, not by much. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. And you need to recognize these things when they happen. I'm going to give you an example of it from years and years and years ago. And then I'm going to give you the most recent example that occurred 2 years ago, I believe, at the Orlando, Florida airport. All right. Now, 1992, I think it was 1991, I decided to bicycle to work at the post office during the winter. Why during the winter in Ohio? Why? Because I'm extreme sometimes. Something has to be really exciting and interesting and dangerous and crazy for me to be interested in it. So let me take out that word interesting that I said before. In order for it to be interesting for me, something has to be edgy, a little bit dangerous, a little bit crazy. And so I decided that I was going to bicycle during the winter, 6 months from October to March, the 11 and a half miles from my home in Greenwich, Ohio, to the post office in Willard, Ohio. And now, mind you, I had to be at work many times, either at 5:30 or 5:45. So I would have to leave the house at 3:45. So I would have to get up at 3 or something. It's just crazy, something crazy like that. And it was a brutal winter. I mean, it was below zero, but I had bought down mittens, giant down mittens, like you would see Admiral Perry wearing on a polar expedition. And I bought this amazing light for the front of my bike that had a battery pack shaped like a water bottle that you put in the water bottle cage. And it had three settings. That light was so bright, cars would flash me like, dim your lights, numbnuts. It was brutal. I loved it. And I had a windshield on my bicycle too, plastic fairing right there in front. And I had ski goggles. I had this expedition style mask. I mean, I was geared up for this thing. I had a down coat. I had like three layers of coats, an outer shell. But I was scientific. It was scientific. I was going to blind the winter with science. Blind it with science. And I didn't realize this, but my coworkers, when I started on this, I said I was going to ride my bike from October through March. They thought I was nuts. And they actually had a bet in the office. I did not realize they had bets going that I would drive more times than I bicycled. And I would bicycle in to work on some mornings that were so brutal. Snow, ice, wind chill, minus 10, that they were astounded. They were keeping marks on the back of one of the postal forms. I didn't know any of this. And so the people who betted that Zender would ride more than he drove, they were correct. Anyway, one afternoon, weird things happened to me. No, I actually fell asleep one morning on my bike. I fell asleep. Yeah, I was going up a hill, believe it or not. And I fell asleep and I veered off to the side of the road. I ended up in the ditch, but somehow I maintained my upright status. I don't know how I did it. Another time I almost hit a deer. Yeah, I'm on a flat, I'm getting up some speed, and a deer ran out. Yeah, it's pitch dark, you know, except for my light. Oh, the beacon of hope. So, anyway, one time in the afternoon, I was bicycling home. It was, you know, 11.5, what does that equal? 23 miles a day? Yeah, 23. I was coming home, the weather was so great, so bleak, and that day I was so depressed, and it was a sloppy, classic sloppy Ohio day. Overcast, mud, slime, icy sludge, just pathetic. Pathetic. Oh, I had electronic foot warmers. I forgot to tell you that. High-tech electronic foot warmers with five settings. Otherwise, I couldn't have survived. My feet get cold when it's 50. When it gets in the 50s here, my feet get cold. My feet hurt. I'm in South Florida and I'm cold. Oh, my toesies are numb. So, I was just surrounded by death this day. Because Ohio is death from October through March. Death. Nothing lives. The people barely live. I barely lived. So, I'm bicycling home. I'm just miserable. Just cursing God in my mind, like, this creation sucks. Eon 3 is my least favorite. Eon? How about some life? How about some, you know, hope? How about some fun? How about... Anyway, so it's just like, okay, God, I'm about fed up with this. I'm about fed up. Just grousing, just head down. Suddenly, I looked up. And I saw three ducks flying in formation, perfectly spaced out, perfectly smooth, just flapping amazingly, as ducks tend to do. And right in front of me, three ducks in a row. And I looked up at that, and I said to God, all right, I'll give you another day. All right, I'll give you another day. And you know what? 20 years has passed, at least. 20 years have passed? Yeah, years passed. 1 year passed. Okay, yeah. And I never forgot that. And that still sustains me. I mean, it doesn't take much, but that sustains me today that God heard my complaint and God did that. God did that. He sent those ducks at that perfect time. And I happened to look up and there they were. And I said, okay, I'll give you another day. That was pretty good, God. That was pretty good. I hated to admit it. I'm like, oh, that was pretty good. All right. I'll give you another day to redeem yourself. All right. That sets the stage for what happened in Orlando. This was 2 years ago. So I think I'm coming back from Ohio. I'm not sure where I'm coming back from. But I had a layover in Orlando, maybe like, it's a beautiful layover. Like, it's a perfect layover. Maybe 70 minutes, 75 minutes, the perfect amount of time. You don't want it too tight. You don't want it too loose. This was beautiful. So suddenly I get a notice on my phone. Your flight has been delayed 5 hours. 5 hours? You mean I'm going to have to sit here at the Orlando airport, which is nothing fancy, for 5 hours? In other words, my flight that was supposed to get in to Fort Lauderdale at like 7 p.m. now it's going to get in at midnight? I was like, oh, you know how it is. Everybody's suffered this. I'm not that unusual. But what happened after this is extremely unusual. It's extremely. So, it occurred to me that I knew that my friends, my fellow believers, Manfred and Marion, had been visiting Jacksonville and that they were coming home this day. I knew they were coming home this day. I said, wait a minute. Manfred and Marion are coming back to West Palm Beach. Marion lived in West Palm Beach. Manfred lived in Plantation, still does, which is 5 miles from here. I knew they were coming back, and I'm thinking, what if they could pick me up? I had no clue when they were leaving, when they were going to be home. I had no clue of like the when of it. I just said, I think they're coming back today. So I got on the phone. I said, maybe they could pick me up and deliver me from this trial. So I called Manfred on the phone. He answered right away. I said, Manfred, here's the situation. I just landed in Orlando. There's a five-hour delay. I'm not going to get home till midnight. Is there any chance that you and Marion, I didn't even know what route they were taking back or anything. I said, is there any chance? And I didn't want to put them out, but I thought only if they're like, you know, around. I said, is there any chance you could pick me up at the Orlando airport? I hate to ask this. I wouldn't ask it, but he goes, well, you're not going to believe this, but it just so happened that I just saw a sign that said, you know, 3 miles to the Orlando airport exit. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah. It's like we're almost here. We're on top of the airport. Be there in 15 minutes. So I'm like, well, that's pretty great. I said, I'll take it. I'll take it. But that's actually not the crazy thing, although that's pretty great. So I get out of the airport. I mean, I'm still in the airport, but I get out of the secure area. And I had been under a little bit of stress, but I'm thinking, you know what? I could really use a cigarette, right? I really need a cigarette. So I'm just standing there looking at the doors to get outside. I don't want to go outside yet, but I don't have any cigarettes. You can't buy cigarettes at an airport. So I'm thinking, man, could use a smoke, but oh well. Just then, a portly woman of the African-American persuasion came through the doors. And, well, that's better than saying a fat black lady, okay? A portly woman of the African-American persuasion walked toward me. Like she was focused on me. And she stopped in front of me and just looked at me. What, does she recognize me as the world's most outspoken Bible scholar? Have I been spotted at the airport? Is this the beginning of a flash mob? She looked at me and she said this. I swear I did not dream this. This was real. She said, you, sir, look like you could use a cigarette. Yeah. I mean, I get chills. I don't usually talk like this. You know me, right? So I'm going to get chills just relaying this. And I said, how did you know? I mean, I was thinking the exact same thought as you walked in. Without a word, she took out a pack of cigarettes from her purse and she handed me a cigarette. And she says, you know what? Just take the whole pack. She gave me the pack of cigarettes. And I said, this is unbelievable. I mean, you cannot believe how I was just thinking this. I said, but damn it, I don't have a lighter. See, it's never good enough for me. That's right. I'm jonesing for a smoke. And this lady walks in out of where? Haha, that's the question. Stops in front of me, says, you look like you could use a cigarette. I mean, nobody's ever done this. Who does this? Who does this? And I said, damn it, I don't have a lighter. She pulls, grabs, pull, she reaches into her purse, pulls out a lighter, hands it to me. Here, take this. And then she just turns and walks away. I should have turned to see if she, like, disappeared as she walked away. She probably disappeared. I don't know. This was like, what? So, do I think it was a celestial messenger? Could be. The book of Hebrews says, you never know. It says, be kind to strangers. You never know when you'll be entertaining an angel or a celestial messenger unawares. Or a celestial messenger in his underwear. I forget which how that reads, but I tend to think that it was a regular human being that God just gave this crazy thing to and sent to me. Like the three ducks. It's like, hey, Zender. Hey, Zender. I'm on it. I'm on the whole thing, Zender. But I'm just going to give you this little thing to show you that this is how it is all the time. But I just don't often show you a snapshot of how it is. This is how it is. I said to God, I said, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm going to give you another day.